You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, and welcome back to the Equipped Man Podcast, the podcast where we explore what it means to be a man of God in the 21st century. I'm your host, Luke Wance. And today, again, I've got another interviewee with me. My friend Devin is with me here in the studio. Devin, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Yeah,
good.
It's an honor to be here.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm excited. I've been thinking about this, like, all day, man.
Been stressing? You've been, like, interviewing yourself just in case?
Yeah, I'm a... especially when it comes to like talking or speaking. I'm a prepper. I like to prep.
Yeah.
And so it's good for me to just come here, no notes, nothing. We're just going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm really excited.
That's good. So I know that you've had quite a colorful past. You know, I believe you've pretty much always been kind of a church person.
Yeah.
Or at least kind of hovered in those circles. I mean, what was that kind of like growing up? Because I know you weren't like a pastor's kid.
Right.
You kind of come from a blended family.
Mm-hmm.
But you've always had church, right?
Yeah. So when I was growing up, my parents, they weren't married when they had me and my younger sister, different dads for my older siblings. And so when we were growing up, my mom always made sure that she's like, okay, well, I was in church. You know, my grandparents, they went to church. And so for her, it's like, this is what we do. This is, you know, part of being a Christian was we went to church. And so we were involved in some aspect of religion my entire life growing up. And so the idea of church wasn't ever foreign to me.
Yeah.
You know, my wife, Christy, just complete opposite. I know we're talking about men's stuff. A funny thing with her that her mom told her, which... her mom's great. I love my in-laws.
Oh, yeah.
Love them.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But her mom was like, you know, I really don't care what you do. Just don't be a Mormon. So that's always fun. But no, anyway, for me, it was, you know, we grew up in church. There wasn't really a lot of power in anything that we did as far as church-related beliefs. You know,
yeah.
The Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, healing, miracles, those weren't really things that you encountered. It was more so, well, where are you going to go when you die?
Gotcha.
That was the goal.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that you don't go to hell.
Yeah.
Was essentially what it was.
Yeah.
And with that, there was a lot of fear. I have a lot different story than most people in the sense that I grew up in a small town and, you know, 2,200 people out in Southwest Kansas. There's, you know, a lot of farmland, there's a lot of country,
yeah,
and there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
So most of the time, high schoolers, middle schoolers even, they're partying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had fear of all of that. First time I drink, I'm going to die of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
If I ever have sex with somebody, they're going to get pregnant.
Oh,
first
right away.
Time.
Yep.
You know, drugs, it was probably there. It just wasn't a part of the circles that I was in. But so I didn't do any of the stuff, but it wasn't like, oh, look at me, how holy am I? It's more, I'm just terrified to do that.
Yeah. No, I hear that.
but always been in church in some aspect. But the biggest thing that was always missing was the relationship.
Okay. Yeah.
The relationship between God the Father and us as, you know, like me as his son.
Yeah.
That was what was lacking.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, I a lot of similar
because I was raised Catholic, and there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of guilt, and so yeah. But to talk about that journey to relationship, I'm going to kind of bring up a curveball, so to speak, because I know you had a goal, or at least a dream, of being a professional athlete.
Yeah.
And that dream kind of took you on quite the journey of faith.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, you mentioned curveball. It was baseball.
Yeah. I'm good yeah. like that. I'm good yeah. like that.
You know, good little setup. Some yeah. soft toss right there. But yeah, that was a vivid dream from T-ball.
Yeah.
You know, I remember playing T-ball games at like 4 and 5 years old, and little country town. I was easily the best one, and so it was like, oh, I'm really good at this. Was
yeah.
the thinking.
Oh yeah.
So I was athletic, you know, most of the time growing up, and did all the sports, but baseball was my love and my passion, and so that was my pursuit. Mm-hmm. What I realized as I got older is I didn't understand pursuit.
No.
I knew desire, and I knew what it was to be talented. You know, I don't necessarily like to say gifted, but it was more natural for me to do these things than it was for other kids.
Right.
And yeah. so I could be better than most without having to put a lot of the work in. So it didn't quite go as I expected as far as from high school, that transition to college. You know, the coach that I had for first 3 years of my career in high school was going to help with the recruiting, was going to do a lot of that, and then got fired between my junior and senior year. And so I had a new coach come in that knew nothing about me.
Yeah.
In small town Kansas where there's really no exposure unless somebody's doing it for you.
Right.
So I did my quote-unquote recruiting
yeah.
myself, you know, calling coaches, you know, a lot of junior colleges. Ended up going to a showcase at K-State
okay.
and got to physically meet the coach at Garden City Community College. And so did a showcase there, ended up getting a scholarship out of it. And so I was able to go to junior college, and it was a completely different experience.
Yeah.
I was not just naturally better than all these other guys that were there. And I'm like 5'8",
yeah.
you know, 5'8", little guy. You know, not a lot of speed compared to these other dudes that are coming in, and not a lot of power.
Okay.
You know, so anyway, like all this, you know, building up to like, here's my dream. This is the pinnacle. I'm going to go pro. This is my end goal. And always a little seed of, well, maybe not a seed, but this was my part of my motivation. It was like, well, look at all the money that I could make and all the good that I could do with it.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the heart.
Right.
That was what I liked to tell myself.
Yeah.
When I was pursuing this. So freshman year of college, ended up being redshirt, got shoulder surgery. It was actually right after the showcase.
Oh, wow.
That I ended up getting this scholarship offer, accepted it, and played summer ball. And my arm was a wreck after that
wow.
showcase. just stuff that I had dealt with for years. Poor mechanics.
Yeah.
You know, not really having anyone teach me. It was all upper body, all arm.
Oh, gotcha.
So anyway, have shoulder surgery, and you know, I come to the first point in my life where I really have to work for something. You know, my parents didn't make me do chores. Like, I didn't do laundry for the first time until I moved out of the house at like 21.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so there was just so much that I didn't have to do, you know. And yeah. so here I am now. I've got, if I really want this, I have to work. And I didn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Had no idea. And so when physical therapy was done, when as far as working with a trainer, and it was all, okay, you got to do this at home, I didn't.
Yeah.
I found out how lazy I was.
Yeah.
It's really what happened. come back sophomore year, and it just, I never took care of my shoulder. It wasn't healed like it should have been. And
gotcha.
Just undisciplined in a lot of areas of my life. And so I ended up getting cut from the team, which was a pretty, pretty devastating time.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, you have your whole life that this is the plan. This is the pursuit. And now it's gone.
Yeah.
And so I did go through a season, even as like somebody who was, you know, Christian, somebody who went to church, went through a season of terrible depression.
Yeah.
You know, there were times where I remember driving along the highway and, you know, there's a ton of semi trucks, these little back road highways and things like that. And it's like just envisioning myself turning the wheel and it's not going to do any harm to them. It'll just take me out. And so I had suicidal thoughts in that regard. And fortunately, I also had a lot of fear.
Yes.
Again, that was one of the moments where it's like, hey, this fear is probably probably a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think even more than that, it was like God's hand was on my life.
Yeah.
And not to say that that's not the case for everybody, but there were a lot of things that he had covered me from and protected me from. And I know that a lot of that was my mom. You know, we didn't have all the stuff, you know, when we were growing up. We weren't necessarily dirt poor, but we didn't have a lot of financial means. Yeah. And
or a lot of extra.
Yeah, there really wasn't extra. You know, my parents weren't married until years after I was born, but she always prayed over us. Nice. I remember that. I remember, you know, when we're going to bed, she's praying over us. And it was part of what she did, who she was. And I think a lot of that carried over into my adult years, where like, hey, I'm not in a great mindset right now. Like, obviously, anytime you're dealing with depression and, you know, somewhat suicidal, you're not in a really good headspace.
No.
But that was the fork in the road for me.
Okay.
After baseball was done, it was really the defining moment of my life as far as, okay, where are you going to go? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You have option A, option B.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to sit and wallow in this and I'm going to waste away, or I'm going to turn back to my roots, essentially.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? This is what I've heard about God my whole life. It's time to make it my own.
Yeah.
And obviously here we are now. So that was the decision that I had made.
Yeah.
Was, you know what? I'm going to pursue God.
Yeah.
It wasn't a quick thing.
No. It usually isn't.
Yeah. This was me getting cut from the team, my GPA dropping so terribly low that I'm about to fail out of junior college.
Yeah.
I dropped out to basically save what was left of my GPA with like a year to go to get my associate's degree.
Yeah.
And I just didn't do anything for a while. And it was a process. It was definitely a process. I started going to a youth gathering basically at the college, even though I wasn't a student anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
I had some friends that were going there. And so I started to join, which always felt a little weird about, like, I don't go here. I'm just showing up.
I haven't seen you in class. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that. But yeah, it was kind of a long journey. It was a painful journey. But ultimately it ended up leading to a lot of great things and great adventures. And, you know, I had a girlfriend that actually, like, she wrote me this letter.
Yeah.
And it was kind of this letter of like, you got to make some changes.
Oh, wow.
Like, you're not somebody I can be with.
Wow.
Unless you start to change.
Okay. So kind of one of those fun little wake up.
Yes.
Okay. Nice.
And so I got that letter from her at one of the events.
Yeah.
I left and I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave a little early. I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray. And I got into my truck and had a little conversation with myself, and I said, I know if I leave here and I go home, I'm not going to do any of that. I need to go to the pastor's house. And so there was a youth pastor at the church we went to that I was pretty close with, and I stopped by there, talked to him and his wife for probably 2 hours, and got home and started just praying and reading the word and really just telling God, like, hey, this, I've been doing this my own, and it is obviously not working.
You know, yeah.
Life is not where I want to be.
Yeah.
I don't have any joy. There's nothing that I'm excited about, and saying, God, whatever you want to do, you can do it.
Yeah.
I'm yours. Go to sleep that night, wake up the next morning, and there's this fire inside of me, and I'm like, I wanted to go out. It was like a Saturday. I wanted to go out into the living room.
Yeah.
Just watch some TV with my parents. I was still living at home at the time. And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I couldn't relax doing that.
Yeah.
So I get into prayer, I get into the word, and after a while, it's like, hey, I got to go to the church. Yeah. I just need to go to the church. I need to worship. So I go, and again, this is the next day after telling God, like, whatever you want to do, you do it.
Yeah.
I show up at the church, walk in the doors, and the first person I see is the worship pastor. And he says, hey, man, we've been talking about doing a trip to India on a mission trip, and you're one of the names that popped up.
Wow.
And here I am thinking, I don't know why me. I must have been good at putting on an act.
Yeah.
You know? But no, so I'm praying about it in the service or in the church and sanctuary. And I said, God, okay, this must be it. And from there, you know, we prep for like 6 months. We go to India for a week and a half, and we get to encounter a lot of cool things. There was like 7 of us.
Okay.
And we get to see healings. We get to see miracles. I'd never been on a plane before that. I'd never been out of the country before that. You know, never been on a train, never been on a motorcycle, like all these things that, you know, I'm flying, here I am flying, my first flight is to India.
Right.
It's like 26 hours of total flight time. We get over there, it's a 6-hour train ride
to
get to the town that we're going to.
And I've seen pictures of those trains. That is not like a cushy Amtrak across the countryside.
One of those railroad tracks definitely had some used underwear of mine dropped down the little hole that is the toilet.
Yeah.
As you're getting ready to use the bathroom, you just see the tracks going underneath
you.
It's a whole different deal. So, I mean, it was just a cool experience for one to see other cultures and how other people live. But really just that really started the adventure that I've been on. And that's been 13 years ago now.
Nice.
So and it led to a lot. I mean, the kind of funny the story that Christy really loves from all this.
Yeah.
Not for the sake of the girlfriend at the time that wrote me the letter, not for the sake of like me breaking up with her or anything like that. She thinks it's kind of funny, and it is. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
She went on this trip as well. She was one of the people that went on the trip.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It was nice until we were getting ready to come back, and I'm realizing this is not who I want to be with. we're in India. We're in India on this mission trip. And here I've got to fly back.
Yeah.
And travel back with her. And I was terribly immature with a lot of things. And so I didn't just have a direct conversation with her.
Yeah.
I just made sure that anytime we were on the plane or on the train, I'm sitting with my buddy on coming back and like not talking to her at all. It was terrible, man. It was terrible. And we ended up getting back and obviously we broke up, but
yeah.
But really what it ended up leading into was, you know, she played a big part in my life as far as getting me back on track.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
that nice little wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
And then it was like 3 months later, I went back by myself for like a month. And
oh, wow. Nice.
I had my 21st birthday in India.
Okay.
Which was kind of cool. You know, a lot of people like to go out and party and
yeah,
get a little hammered or whatever they're doing for their 21st. And I'm like, man, I get to spend my 21st at this orphanage with kids.
Yeah.
You know, and helping them out. And so, yeah, it was a cool experience.
That's
for
awesome.
Sure.
Yeah. See, I didn't realize that about you.
Yeah.
I mean, I know to kind of fast forward, I mean, not really to tell your story, but I know you said shortly after you guys got married, you had this let's chuck everything and move to Hawaii with nothing but our suitcases.
Yeah.
To be like pastors, right?
We worked at a ministry.
Okay.
Like on for students. We were essentially staff. And that was not the plan. Like we didn't start dating and get engaged and talk about, hey, let's move to Maui.
Right.
You know, this was not even on our radar.
Yeah.
But the pastors of the church that we went to, the pastor's wife, her sister and brother-in-law ran this program on Maui.
Okay.
Where they would take in, we had like 16 to 18-year-olds or the kids, the three guys that we worked with. It never became anything huge, but their mentality was always like, if we get to help one kid,
yeah,
all the effort's worth it.
Nice.
And so our pastor's wife, they were on sabbatical. Christy and I were engaged at this time, and we not married yet. And they come back, and she's like, hey, you know, so I've got this sister who lives in Maui, and they have this program where they work with, you know, students who, you know, are either, you know, in dealing with drugs, dealing with alcohol, you know, just troubled teens, essentially.
Yeah.
And she's like, they're looking for a younger couple to come in and really kind of connect with these kids. They want to find somebody who's a little closer to their age because they had an older couple that was there kind of helping them get set up.
Yeah.
But they were kind of phasing out. They had kind of accomplished what they wanted to. And
yeah.
And so now they're looking for somebody who's younger. And she's like, you know, I just thought of you guys. And she said, now it's Maui. Like she said, hey, take a month.
Yeah.
Don't pray about it. Don't invest any thought into it.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you this. Don't do anything with it for a while. And
How do you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, I'm going to tell you this, but don't think about it or pray about it.
Yeah.
Well, then why'd you tell me about it?
Right. And of course we did. Immediately we leave.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, Lord, do you want us to go to Maui?
Right,
like,
right.
Do you want us to go suffer for your kingdom?
Yes.
For your name? And it's kind of funny because we talked about it. We prayed about it that day when we left the service, when we left church. And then we just kind of forgot about it. And it was almost a month to the day. We were out at lunch, and I go into the restroom before we leave. And we had been to this place numerous times, one of our favorite spots back in that little town we grew up in. And so here on this shelf is this Febreze bottle. It's like Maui Fresh or something, or Hawaiian Breeze or whatever. You know, I think it was Hawaiian Breeze, and it was all tropical and all this stuff. And I was somewhat still, and I had religious ideas. And so I'm like, God, it's not good to pray for signs. I'm not going to ask for signs, you know. And but it was almost a month to the day that popped up.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of that conversation we had. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And so I told Christy about it. And next thing we know, like everywhere we're going, everywhere we went, there was something to do with Hawaii or Maui specifically.
Yeah.
We went into, I think we were here visiting in Kansas City, some family.
Yeah.
We went into like a Dick's Sporting Goods, and there's this huge banner right as you walk in, says win a trip to Maui. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's something to this.
I didn't say I needed a sign, but that's quite the sign.
Yeah, exactly. And so we start praying about it. And we're like, you know, God, if this is what you want to do, it's got to be you.
Yeah.
Because it would be so easy for us to just go because it's Maui.
Right.
You know, it's this thing that not a lot of people get to do. You don't just get to go to Hawaii.
Right.
And you especially don't go live there.
Yeah.
You know? And so we wanted to make sure that all of the emotion and all of our own personal desires were out of it.
Yeah.
And that, like, God, we're not going if this isn't you. Otherwise, it's going to be a failure.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be productive. Part of it was, like, when we got there, we had to completely rely on God and the generosity of the people that were there, because we were 6 months married when we moved over there.
Wow.
We had talked to our bosses on the phone twice. We knew nobody.
Yeah.
And so here we are, this young couple. I was 23, Christy was 21, and
yeah,
we're moving to Maui. Like, we didn't really have many belongings, which was kind of nice.
So yeah,
everything either got sold or put in storage, and
yeah,
and we go over there. We made like $125 a week.
Yeah,
together,
which doesn't go far in Hawaii.
It does not.
Doesn't go far here. Mainland either, but
right. Yeah, I mean, this was 2013, 2014, and gas was like $4.50.
Yeah,
at that time.
Wow.
So there was a truck that we got to drive that belonged to our bosses. We were able to drive that personal use. We paid for the gas. If we were taking the boys anywhere or do anything like that for work,
yeah,
then, you know, we just used the company card essentially. We worked with the food bank, and so we got a lot of our food for free. We lived in a church in this loft. It was actually surprisingly nice little loft for myself and Christy. And
nice.
And we got to work with three boys over the course of our year and a half, roughly, that we were over there.
Okay.
And really got to meet some great, great people. And then just seeing... So one of the boys... in particular, his name was Raymond.
Yeah.
And this dude came from the streets. Like, he was living in, he would go sleep in Jeeps on sales lots, car lots.
Yeah. Wow.
Because you can just unzip them and get in the back. And
yeah.
And so he came in, he was 17 when he came in, way behind in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for him, it ended up being better that, hey, we just get you, let's see what we can do to kind of maybe work towards a GED. And get you a job.
Yeah.
Extremely oppressed.
Okay.
And wow. Just depressed, really. He's probably, I mean, I loved all the boys, the three boys that came through.
Yeah. But
he's got some of the coolest stories.
Okay, nice.
And so he comes, no religion, nothing, knows nothing about God, and just kind of gets to encounter Jesus through this time that we're working with him.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was, yeah, we get to be a part of his journey. His mom and his dad lived on the Marshall Islands, and he was on Maui with his brother.
Okay.
And this is after a while. Like, initially, this dude comes in, covers his food as he's eating, and is always the first one done.
Yeah.
Because, like, you gotta guarding. He's get guarding, what you can man. When yeah. you can get it.
Yeah.
And so we're constantly telling him, like, hey, there's plenty.
Yeah.
We're taken care of here.
You're safe.
You're yeah. safe. You know, and so it was really cool to kind of see that shell breaking off. And one thing that I always did was something that a mentor had done for me. Every time a new boy came in, we'd get to know him a little bit. About a week in, I would say, okay, so look, we want to see things change for you. We want to see real growth from you. But it's going to be so much easier if you give me authority to speak into your life.
Mm. Yeah.
And so it was always this sit down, do you give me authority to speak into your life?
Yeah.
And if you don't, then that's fine. Just tell me no. You don't have to say it to please me. But if you do,
yeah,
then say yes, and I'm going to speak into your life.
Yeah.
And so I would ask every boy that came in, we would all do that. And they would go around and say, yes, I give you authority. It wouldn't just be yes. It was always, yes, I give you authority to do this.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Something that a mentor that was pretty instrumental in my life did for me. I'm like, I like that. That's really good.
Yeah.
But this guy, Raymond, comes in and his, like I said, his mom, he hadn't seen his mom in years.
Wow.
She was on this other island. After a while, he had been there probably 3 months at this point.
Okay.
He really had started to open up a lot, but he goes up to Christy. He goes, hey, do you think it'd be okay if I asked God if I could see my mom?
Oh, wow.
Just real basic.
Yeah.
Simple prayer.
Wow.
And Christy's like, yeah, that would be great, Raymond.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine. And so he did. He's like, Lord, I'd love to see my mom. You know, just real simple. It wasn't this extravagant, drawn-out prayer where we're trying to convince God of something.
Right.
It was just, here's my heart.
Yeah.
And it was like a day or two later, he got a call. And he found out his mom and dad were coming to the island.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's so cool.
And all of a sudden, this big excitement turns into this huge disappointment because he finds out his mom's blind.
Oh, no.
And so over the course of him being on Maui and being away from her, she'd lost her sight.
Oh, wow.
And so the disappointment for him was like, I wanted my mom to be able to see where I'm at now.
Right.
And then he goes, Christy, he's talking to Christy again.
Yeah.
He goes, do you think it'd be okay if I asked God if my mom could be healed?
Of course, man. Do it. Do it.
Yeah. And Christy's like, well, look, you just prayed,
right,
for your mom to come here,
yeah,
for you to be able to see your mom, and here she is. And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
She's like, yeah, of course. Let's pray that. And so they pray for healing for her. And later that week, she went to a doctor's appointment. And they're like, oh, we can clean this. This is just, we can just clean this out.
Holy cow. Wow.
And so she gets this procedure. She gets her eyes cleaned out and she can see. And
holy cow.
Like,
that's awesome.
I had never seen such pure faith.
Yeah.
Childlike faith.
Yeah.
And it was with Raymond that I really got to encounter that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because he didn't have all this stuff and junk built up.
Yeah.
It was just, this is who they say God is. He's a good father.
Right.
And he blesses and he heals. That's what the Bible says. So
yeah.
Can I pray that?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
And so in the matter of like a month, this dude gets to see pretty, like two pretty big miracles and things in his life. And by the time that he left the program, we had got him a job. He had, we had worked on him getting his license. Just these things that he had never done. Like, he was almost most excited when he had his own money that he earned and he could go buy a hat.
Yeah. Simple things, man.
Simple stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so that was a lot of cool experiences with that.
Yeah.
But also just a huge kind of this insight into the relationship that God wants to have with us.
Yeah.
Father to son. Like, you know, we're both dads.
We are. Yeah.
I haven't been a dad as long as you've been a dad, but, you know, my... three-year-old
right.
little guy.
There. Yeah. You'll get there.
I just want to give him stuff. I want to give him good things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and this is what we got to see with Raymond so clearly.
Yeah.
Was, my son wants to see this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it to him.
And it's that it is. It's, you know, I can tell from your story, and yes, as a dad, you know, you can. It doesn't, you know, when your kids come up to you and ask you for something, you know, even, hey, can, you know, earlier while we were upstairs talking, my son comes up to me, hey, can I have a jawbreaker? It's that simple. You know, he doesn't have to, like, get in a certain position and say certain words to me and, you know, beg and plead in this really long, drawn out thing. It's, hey, Dad, can I have a jawbreaker? Yeah, you can have a jawbreaker. Go for it. Have fun.
Yeah. It's true.
And it's good. It's good. And it's fun to have that reminder of it really is that simple.
Yes.
You know, last week I was talking, with Levi. I think it was before we were recording, but you know, it's when I was on this journey of, you know, deciding to start this podcast and my own journey of being a Christian, because I started later in life, for the most part, kind of. But it was like you have this really almost like this intro level of like when you become a Christian of it's almost like they convince you that you need Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool. I got that. And then you try to figure out the stuff, you know, like you're looking for books or you're looking for, you know, the men's conferences and stuff like that. It's like, I want to build my faith. And it's like, you know, it's, you go to so many of these, or, you know, I've seen the memes, the jokes of, you know, when it comes time for sermons on Father's Day, you know, it's you're horrible fathers and follow Jesus. Okay.
Right.
I've decided to follow Jesus. Now what? And then all of a sudden it's like the next level is, the books are written by some scholar and you need like a pile of research sitting next to you just so you can read their book so you can figure out all the references and the name dropping and the historical events. And you're like, I don't know these names or these events. So does that mean I'm not saved?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to get to the next level because I don't know these things, but it's like, there's gotta be something more. And it's, I think the something more beyond the basic is these simple things. You know, yes, you really can have just a simple conversation with God and say, God, this is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
God, is this right? God, should I even be doing this? God, should I start a podcast?
Right.
You know? God, should I move to Kansas City?
Yeah.
You know? And so it is. It's you know, that big question of, you know, I joke with Tina a lot. You know, it's now what? You know, and I think a lot of Christians, I mean, I think a lot of people in general, but I'm going to name it to, you know, specifically men in Christianity. It's that question of now what? You know, okay, I decided to follow Jesus. Now what? Okay, I found a woman. We got married. Now what?
Yeah.
We just had a kid. Now what? You know, it's always that now what?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do with that? What do you do with that?
Yeah, it's a tough one. It really is, because a lot of the things that I think of it in terms of things that I get excited about that are in the future. This is kind of how I see it. You know, a vacation or a trip coming up, and you have this excitement, you're ready, and it feels like it's forever, and then finally it's here, and then all of a sudden it's gone, and now it's 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It's so quick to get to that end goal, and then you do kind of get to this point of, well, that was cool, but
now what?
Now what? You know, that really is the question. I think for me, it's remembering and thinking about what's the constant through it all.
Yeah.
You know, so getting engaged, you know, I say, quote unquote, living in the right place. Like, I think you get to a point where you realize, like, God isn't necessarily wanting to give you every direction for your life. Like, he wants you to grow in maturity.
Yeah.
So that you can just make good decisions.
Yeah.
But for me, I think the big thing is the now what is always like, okay, well, God is where it started. God was in the journey.
Yeah.
He was at the finish line of whatever it is that it is. You know, life in itself, there's obviously life and death. You know, you have your start and your end point, but all these little journeys that you take in between, as a Christian, the life that I've had is God is the constant. And so when it comes to the now what, it's rather than looking at it always as this question of like, where's my purpose or what should I be doing? It's like, okay, God, we did that. What's next? Maybe almost changing the question.
Yeah.
Rather from a now what, like, I don't know what to do. It's no, like, hey, what's next? What are we going to accomplish next? What are we going to do next? Where are we going to go next?
Yeah.
Now, what's the next adventure?
Yeah. I like that.
No. And I'll, I was thinking about it earlier today and I'm like, man, anything that I say on this that is good or wisdom is completely either from people that have taught me and trained me or it's just something that maybe God is speaking, but anything that's foolish is completely Devin. but yeah, it really is not just a difficult question, but it's a difficult place to be.
Yeah.
Of now what? And it unfortunately is a place where a lot of people can get stuck.
Yeah.
But I think for me, one of the ways to kind of get out of that is you find other men. That's what I like to do. I like to look for other men and see where they're at in their life. What is it that they're doing? How are they loving their family? That's a big one. How are they loving their kids? How are they loving the people around them? And the guys that I see doing that, I try to emulate. I want to do that and I want to see that in my life. So I'm going to get around them and see, what is it you're doing?
Yeah.
No. Because there's, like you were saying with the Father's Day sermon, there's not a lot of, there may not be a lot of thanks in our life as men, as husbands, as fathers. You know, fortunately, I think for you and I, we both have wives that make sure that we know we're appreciated and we're loved. And so it makes those things easier. But for those men out there that don't have that, it's available.
Yeah. It's available because I know there's a lot of men that think that way, but I also know there's a lot of men that, you know, for so many years, it's almost been drilled into almost all men of don't show emotion, reaching out is weak, you know, and all of this. So it's you know, when we're kids, it's easy. It's like, oh, we're going to the same school together. We're in class together. We're on the t-ball team together. We're best friends.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, now that you're an adult, you know, me being in my 40s, you being in your 30s, you know, it's how do you, it's overcoming that history of how so many men are raised to reach out and, you know, how do you become friends? How do you make friends as an adult male?
That's true.
You know, unless you're like already in the middle of something, it's like A, we're so busy and we're so focused on what we have in our own lives. And I'll say for me, because I'm really good at this, this is one of my huge talents, is I am really good at making excuses for other people. You know, it's like, hey, why didn't you reach out to me? Or why didn't you reach out to that person? It's like, well, they got their own stuff going on, you know? They've got family in town, or they've got, you know, wife and kids, or they're going through some stuff. I know they've told me they're going through their own stuff. They don't need my stuff piled on top. So it's like, that's my little badge of honor that I need to smack out of myself of, you know, I'm really good. You know, even before I knew Jesus, when I was going through a lot of my depression and suicidal thoughts on my own, yes, sometimes they come back, but it's reach out, reach out. You've got these friends. I'm good. They're busy.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need my problems.
Right.
You know, so it is. It's and I know that's a struggle for a lot of men to, you know, to raise their hand, even in the quote unquote safe circle of a men's only event at church where, you know, you all fight and battle in the same direction. It's still so hard. It's almost like there's that stigma of, I can't raise my hand to say I'm struggling. I need help.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I try to, not what I try to, when I'm thinking about this, the person that's drowning, it's easy to be like, well, just move your arms, kick your feet.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
They're taking on water, and you get into a point, it's like, I don't want to fight anymore.
Yeah.
And so I, as you're talking about this, what I was looking at, really what I was starting to kind of get a picture of, was the people that have been doing this. That's why there's such a great responsibility, I think, on not just men, you know, the church, whatever, but if we're talking just men, right? So I think there's a great responsibility on mature men that have had, you know, long relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got a good track record with him, that it really is our responsibility to get out of ourselves, to look outward and say, where are the men that need help?
Yeah.
You know, because again, God being a good father, he's going to point those people out.
Yeah, he will.
Because they need it.
Yeah.
And it is easy to say, well, man, people are available, just reach out. It's like, well, where do you find them? You know, yeah. And really, like, I'm in a spot, I'm not even looking for that. I don't care.
Yeah.
Is how it feels at times.
Yeah.
Like, I've pushed everybody away, man. There's no people around anymore.
Yeah. Or they'll say, well, if you have an issue, talk to a pastor. Well, they're busy.
Right.
They're busy. My problem's not that big. I need a pastor.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fully aware. I still do that. Where there's things that I should probably take care of that, or I should probably go talk to somebody about it. And
yeah.
And I convince myself it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it becomes this little thing that festers.
Yeah.
Festers. And so that's where I see it, though, is it's like, it really is a responsibility of the men that are really confident in their walk in the relationship with God, that are doing things successfully and that are doing things well.
Yeah.
That we have to really be a much more unselfish and go and find and bring in.
Yeah.
You know, to actually go and harvest, to you know, the harvest implies work.
Yeah.
You know, the field is you know, the harvest is ready, the workers are few.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing. It can be so easy to put it on somebody else that they need to figure it out.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, you need to reach out. But really, why am I not doing that?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see that.
Yeah. Or I almost, when you were talking about harvesting, and in my mind, it almost came to, you know, before harvesting, tending. You know, when you're tending the crops, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're going in, even a small garden, it's like, you know, sometimes you got to go in even before it's time for harvest to pick out some of the little weeds that you can get rid of without destroying the crop.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, are we doing that, you know, as much as we might be doing that for ourselves or maybe our families, it's like, are we trying to look out for that for our friends, for our fellow guys that are around us?
Yeah.
So
that's true. We always look at planting and, you know, and sowing.
Yeah.
We kind of forget there's a whole middle process.
Right. Yeah.
You got to keep this thing and this seed alive.
Yeah.
And I
us,
like that.
Us that are from the Midwest, you know, that can be like, you know, 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah.
Of between seed and harvest. So.
Yeah. And what I found is the people I've worked with, you know, different people. There's a guy in particular that I think of, and really, really grew fond of him. You know, a guy that was very much a pessimist.
Yeah.
and work in the security industry, and the guy's like, well, what's it even matter? You know, security, like, things are going to go to crap anyway. It's none of this is going to matter in 6 months. And
right.
But he saw men that were consistent.
Mm.
men that had the same stress work-wise.
Yeah.
Men that dealt with some of the same things. And I'm not even going to say, like, I'm one of the guys that, man, I'm this pinnacle to look at. Like, I work with some great men.
Yeah.
Great Christian men. And he got to see this. And just him being around consistent men that weren't swayed by what was going on around him.
Yeah.
Started to open up his eyes a little bit, and his mindset began to shift.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so even just that, that's one of the things that I've thought about plenty being a father now, is I got to be consistent.
Yeah.
My wife, my son, they need to know who's coming home.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be this question of, am I going to get dad that's mad? Am I going to get dad that's tired? Which I can be, you know, we're going to be tired. That's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to give away all of my best energy to things that are not the most important.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, consistency in good, godly men is one of the things that just naturally draws other men to you, because there's something that looks attractive.
Yeah.
In your life that somebody else is missing.
Agreed. Agreed. That's good. All right. So we're going to wrap up. Anything that you would like to leave the audience with? Any really quick last nuggets on top of all the other nuggets that we've thrown on the table here?
Yeah, just one quick thought.
Yeah.
You know, I think we mentioned and we talked about it earlier, but make things simple.
Mm.
Life can be as complicated as it wants.
Yeah.
And complex as it wants. We need to find the things that we can make simple. Our relationship with God can be very deep, but very simple.
Yeah.
We don't need to make it complex. You know, there's enough complexities around us. You know.
Agreed.
So that's my final thought.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you again for coming and talking.
So, yeah, thanks for having me, man. I enjoyed it.
I'll definitely be calling you back. So be prepared.
All right. Be ready. I'll be ready.
You can have notes for next time if you want, maybe.
No, I like that. If you want to help keep me on track, maybe you give me notes sometimes.
I might give you a topic.
There we go.
Instead of just an open interview, it's like, hey, we're going to be talking about this.
Yeah.
So, okay. Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys. Stay fit. Be well.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.